First, a confession of sorts. As a young Roman Catholic girl, some of you have heard me preach and discuss my love for all things spiritual, all things religious, and most of all things mystical. I loved Butler's book of the saints. I loved attending Mass. I loved learning all on my own the prayers, the whole Mass in Latin, even though I couldn't serve as an altar server because I was a girl. I loved pondering all the lessons that my friends and sister companions, the Dominican sisters, were teaching me about the divine and about the holy. However, I just never, ever wanted to be like Mary. The Mary I was taught blindly submitted to God's will, just gave her life, her body, her whole self to an unplanned pregnancy that could result in her cultural and religious context in her death by stoning. It's not that I struggled with the importance of responding to the call of God to give one's life over in faithful service. It wasn't that at all. I got that just fine. And I actually found myself praying that one day I would figure out what that looked like in my own spiritual journey. It's the part of the Mary story we have before us this day that was always presented to me as total submission instead of the deeply personal surrender it truly is to the divine invitation to become the Mother of God. I wondered then and now, if God created each and every human being with free will, then why didn't anyone speak of Mary's freedom in choosing to say yes to Gabriel's message of this immaculate conception? Why weren't we, as young girls and young boys, invited to conceive of the impact of potential life decisions, our yes being yes, and our no being no? If I had been introduced to a Mary whose yes, "Be it done unto me according to your word," meant that she had a say, that she had a choice in this divine drama, she and I would have had a very different relationship early on in my life. I would have consulted with her more during the times of my life when, as a girl child or a teen or even as an adult woman, when I desperately needed a spiritual companion to whom I could personally relate with a passionate faith and a fierce spirit. I want our young girls and young boys to grow up in these days and times with Mary as a role model when my yes is a wholehearted yes, because I have the freedom to say my no means no also. In all these years of struggling with Mother Mary, meek and mild, I have come to a deep and passionate conviction that she was anything like that. This Mary, the one we hear sing the words of courageous women before her, who proclaims the greatness of the Lord and a spirit of passionate, wholehearted joy, is the Mary, is the woman who chose to say that truly outrageous, life-threatening, faithful, loving, wholehearted yes to God. Her conviction in faith is further demonstrated by her willingness to utter aloud the question burdening her heart in that moment of divine encounter and invitation. "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" No shrinking violet to Mary. She, like other courageous biblical characters, who often are judged by the question and not the courageous faith that it takes to ask the question, is granted the divine answer. "This conception, Mary, will be the grace and gift of the Holy Spirit." In her hymn, the Magnificat, Mary not only boldly proclaimed the greatness of God, but she also deeply understood that her own yes would result in her own blessedness. She did not describe herself in that moment as meek, mild, or submissive. "No," she added, "all generations will call me blessed." Although I am convinced of Mary's fierce faith and trust in her God, the words of the divine messenger Gabriel are equally significant to the story we have before us this fourth Advent. In a staff meeting on Tuesday, we were each sharing the joys and sorrows of our personal lives with one another as we do weekly. It's a powerful moment among us as we deepen our love and our friendship and our spiritual companionship with one another. As Robert read the gospel, I heard the words, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God," echoing in my soul. These words echo through the ages and become ever new in each of our own lives when we dare to listen for them. I invite you to listen to them in your own life. My friends, the fourth candle of the Advent season is lit. The light in the midst of the darkness, thanks be to God, is growing. Ready or not, we stand on the threshold that is Christmas, the promise of new birth once again, and of a second return of the Christ to a still dark and sinful world in need of the light and love of Jesus. In all of the millennia that have passed, we human beings wait for the miracle that is this miraculous birth. For we know that in this birth, all has been redeemed and is now being perfected on this earthly journey as we await the day of his coming. Such is Christmas. Such is this birth of Emmanuel, God with us, then, now, and evermore. Ready or not, we will return here this very night to meet our Savior Jesus, held by his fiercely loving mother Mary, and protected by his earthly father Joseph. Will we behold this holy family with joy, with hope, and with love once again? In these next few hours, however, between now and your return, may you and I take just a few moments out of our preparations to proclaim as she did our courageous yes to God's desire in our lives to be fulfilled. What does that look like for you? What would your wholehearted yes to God mean? And how is Mary there as a courageous companion on that journey? May we teach our daughters and sons, those young men and women, that there is indeed a role model worth emulating when it comes to our yes meaning yes, and the equally important possibility that our no does mean no. I want to leave you on this morning of Fourth Advent with a powerful poem and prayer written by Jan Richardson. She is a contemporary spiritual writer of truth and blessings. This is entitled, "A Blessing for After." The blessing is for the moment after clarity has come, after inspiration, after you have agreed to what seemed impossible. This blessing is what follows after illumination departs, and you realize there is no map for the path you have chosen. No one to serve as guide, nothing to do but gather up your gumption and set out. This blessing will go with you. It carries no answers, no charts, no plans. It carries no source of life within itself. But in its pocket is tucked a mirror that from time to time it will hold up to you to remind you of the radiance that came when you gave your awful and wonderful yes. Amen.